This is Donovan Morgan. I am here with Bison Smith. Bison, are you there?
I'm here in sunny Puerto Rico.
Well, he's in paradise. I just wanted to take the time. I'm doing the show with Bison Smith. Stevie Richards was supposed to do it this week, but he ended up having some tests done in the hospital, and so that's where he's at right now. God bless him. But anyways, I'm here with Bison Smith doing this on behalf of Mike Modest, and I know we're not going to be as entertaining as Mike Modest is every week. He puts a lot of work into the show, and, you know.
No one could be as entertaining as Mike Modest.
That's right. And none of that.
Few drinks in him, he's very entertaining.
Few drinks, few, you know.
Cigarettes,
special ones. But anyways, you know, Bison and I have gone way back. We actually lived together for a long time in San Francisco when we were going to APW or All Pro Wrestling. But I'm just going to go through some questions with Bison, because a lot of you guys haven't really heard Bison a lot on interviews. And so I'm just going to ask you some random questions. And I'm not going to start off with the same old random questions that everyone asks. Like,
how did you start watching wrestling, and why
exactly,
did you want to be a pro wrestler?
Because those all suck and they're boring.
Yeah,
but
they
well, I'm going to start kind of backwards, because I think it'll kind of catch them off guard, and then we can go from there. So, Bison, what do you think you want to do after wrestling, after you're done with wrestling?
You know what? That's a good question. I've been thinking about it lately since I'm getting older, and I'm starting to feel the bumps that I'm taking in the ring every night. And I don't know. You know, I've thought about being a massage therapist. I've thought about making pizzas. I've always wanted to have a pizzeria. I think there's not a good pizza down in Puerto Rico. And
right.
I think they would, I think a pizza, good pizza down here would do well.
There's only there's really, from what I've heard, only diarrhea down there. But there's not a good
pizza.
No,
that's Japan. That's Japan.
That is true.
You know, I don't think there's a hard stool in Japan. I've never seen or heard one ever.
No, I haven't either.
But down in Puerto Rico, it's all good. It's all good. Other than that, I don't know. You know, I always think that, you know, that big payday is going to come and I'll be set. But you know what? I don't know if that's ever going to come where I'll be financially set for life. So, you know, I have to start thinking about my future and what I'm going to do after wrestling. I definitely don't really want to be a part of wrestling if I'm not wrestling. You know, a lot of guys hang on, like Bushwhacker Luke Williams, who books for IWA right now, and I think for Ring of Honor. I can't handle that side of the business, the office. I've always been one of the boys.
That's where I always wanted to end up, you know.
You always wanted to end up in the office?
Yeah, I always wanted to end up in that side of it, but...
No. See, I'm one of the boys. I just, you know, I've never been a political guy. I've always, you know, been easy to get along with. I don't stab people in the back. And I think if you go to that level, the office, you're going to be introducing yourself to, you know, things that you don't want to do. And I've always been laid back and easy. You know, I'm easily approachable. I get along with everybody. And I like being one of the boys and being on the road and, you know, goofing off after the shows and stuff. But,
sure.
But yeah, so, you know, I got to think about my future. I don't know. My mom and dad wanted me to be a high school teacher and coach football. But I don't think I could do that.
So instead you became a rapist, the next best thing.
A racist?
Oh, no, a rapist. No, but you know, I know what you mean. It's like your parents have, you know, certain ideas for you and everything.
Well, yeah, you know, I've always been an athlete since I was 11 years old. Even with amateur wrestling, I started like 7 or 8 years old, and I've always had that athletic, you know, mind. I've never had the, you know, good. Let's do a 9 to 5, you know, education, college, you know, get married, have kids, be 9 to 5. I've always been a free spirit that wants to see the world. And that's what I've been doing the past 10 years.
Kind of like a 3 to 3:30 type of guy, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
three to
I'm
four.
I'm a swing shift type of guy. I'm not
That's
a 9-to-5.
Shift
yeah.
work. That's a good song.
Shift work.
But yeah, I know what you mean. You know, and it's ingrained in, you know, all of us were different. You know, like Mike Modest, he's a comedian, like by nature. You know, like he's got a lot of stuff inside of him that you or I don't have, as far as wit goes. And,
sure.
You know, you've got a lot of athleticism inside of you that neither of us had. And I don't know what the fuck I have. But, you know, it's just it's one of those things where the good part with you is that you're still working a regular job in Japan. You kept that job for a long time. And I think that that's a really, really cool thing because, you know, to this day, I've got my opinion about Japan and stuff and about NOAA. But I think NOAA is a really great place to work, and if you look at the business now, I think it's one of the best places to work.
It is. NOAA, you know, when you go to NOAA, it's not how much ass you kiss or whose back you stab. It's how hard you work outside of the ring and inside of the ring to get you to push to where you need to be. You know, it's the exact opposite of how it is in the States. You know, in the States, it's who you know and whose ass you kiss, and that's how you get your push. But in NOAA, you know, your push is earned. And, you know,
And by in the States, for the people who are listening, he's not talking about indies. He's actually talking about in the States people that are making money at wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for like, you know, for example, you know, WWE or whatever, that's what he's talking about is people in the States wrestling, making money. You know, in WWE, it's probably a lot different than it is in Japan. I was there for 5 years, but you're right. You know, it's not about so much as whose ass you kiss. It is really about how hard you work.
Yeah, it is. And it's nice. It's nice for a change.
Well, it's nice.
I'm not an entertainer type of guy. I'm not, you know, I don't have, you know, a TV persona, so to speak. I've never really tried to, but, you know, I feel more comfortable wrestling in Japan because it's about the wrestling. It's not about doing interviews and going out and doing press conferences and meeting the fans and, you know, not a lot of plane travel, you know, a lot of bus travel, but it's focused more on just getting from town to town and doing your two-hour gig every night. And that's primarily what it's focused on is, you know, and I could go in and have every night, you know, I don't think I've had a match under 20 minutes.
Right.
And then in the States, you're told 4 minutes.
And you were always that way when we were there, too, in Japan. But I think one of the most important things, like I was saying on I think, one of Mike's other shows was that, you know, when I was a kid or when you were a kid, we would go to Selland Arena or we'd go to Arco Arena and we'd watch the WWE guys or WWF guys and we would see, you know, Paul Orndorff, for example, wasn't even good enough to win the heavyweight title.
Right.
I mean,
and he's a great worker.
He was a great worker. And you look at even some other guys, you know, like Don Morocco, Bob Orton, you know, like some of those guys weren't even good enough to carry the heavyweight title. And now, you know, nowadays, and this is no knock on CM Punk, but actually it kind of is, you know, it's, you know, he's the heavyweight champion. And if I was watching wrestling, you know, now, and I was 7 years old now, and I was watching CM Punk, I would probably, you know, just turn the TV off because if I had anything to compare it to, like in the past, it's a joke. And that's one of the
things. He looks like a heavy metal guy that I grew up watching.
He looks like a guy that does drugs, and he's supposed to be straight edge. That's what I love about him. But
the,
you know,
if you watch him wrestle, you've watched all the Japanese wrestlers because he totally ripped off every wrestler in Japan.
Right.
He's ripped off Muda. He's ripped off every, you know, Kent. He's a huge Kenta mark. He loves Kenta from NOAA.
He even uses the same name that Kenta uses for his finish, you know.
Go to sleep, yeah, and that's Kenta's move. And the sad thing is, you know, Kenta's such a great wrestler with his kicks. CM Punk tries to throw those kicks in the ring, and he can't even throw a decent kick.
Right.
And it's like, is there anybody, I mean, WWE has so much money. Can't they hire a judo guy or a karate guy to teach this guy how to kick properly?
Yeah, even Glacier was a step up from that. But, it is pretty bad. I mean, you know, but the thing is, just kind of moving on, you know, what do you think, Bison, that What do you think wrestling needs now to kind of recover? You know, at least in the States here, not really in Japan, but in the States. What do you think it needs to recover now?
It needs a roster full of professional wrestlers, not guys that they yank out of the gyms or guys they see at casting calls. They need guys that have been working in the business for 10-plus years, you know, 5-plus years, that know, you know, that have been in a territory like such as Puerto Rico or been working in England. They get an idea of how to draw a house and what the fans need to see for them to come back. Now, today you've got a bunch of guys just thrown in the ring. You know, I don't watch Raw too much or SmackDown because it just I can't benefit from it. But if I, you know, I know one of my friends is on it, I'll watch. But I watch these guys, and they have no clue what they're doing, and it seems like the fans know that the fans are more smart than the wrestlers are in the ring.
Right. And that's
and people are paying to see professional wrestlers, not, you know, rookies.
That was something I was talking to someone about today, an indie wrestler I was talking about on the phone, and we were talking about the difference between UFC and professional wrestling. And well, I was talking about how I was at a Christmas party this weekend, and someone that's in my office was saying, hey, you know, Donovan, you know, our son, he is really training to be in the UFC right now, and, you know, do you have any advice for him? And I'm like, no, I really don't, because the job that I did is completely different.
Sure.
And then, you know, one of the parents was like, oh, he's got a hell of a reach. I mean, that's the one thing right now. I mean, he's training in New Orleans, and, you know, he's doing the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and, I mean, he's going to be really good. And I said, well, I go, there's a difference from being good and being on the road 150 days a year.
Exactly.
And because
working
that's
one show every 3 months.
Because you got to remember, it's like I was talking to my friend today, and we were like, you know, if you're on the road 150 days a year, like we were in Japan and in the U.S., you've got to go out every night. You've got to remember a lot of stuff, you know, that, you know, night after night, new stuff, and you also have to, you know, put on a 20-minute performance, which if I go in there and throw a couple punches, I don't got to think about a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know,
and with the Internet today, it makes it more difficult because back in the old days, you know, Billy Jack Haynes would be with Don Morocco for 6 months, and they'd go out and tour the United States and work each other each night. So it was easier for those guys back then, but, you know, with the Internet today, you got all these stooging out the matches, and so you really got to change up what your offense and everything, and it makes it more difficult.
Even a few years ago, you know, when wrestling was really popular and everyone wanted to be a wrestler, everyone went on the Internet and they figured out, you know, all the buzzwords like kayfabe and mark and, you know, spot and all these different words. And now you're almost seeing the exact same thing with, you know, with the UFC or with mixed martial arts. Everyone's wearing the tap out shirts and everyone, you know. And it's getting to the point where, you know, that's the new fad, man. And everyone's, you know, leaning towards that. But let me ask you this. I know that you've heard of that new movie, The Wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had a chance to listen to anyone talk about it that's seen it yet?
No, and I've been curious to know what it, you know, how deep they go into the business.
Well,
I love Mickey Rourke. I think he's a fantastic actor. I loved him in a lot of movies, especially Sin City. But I want to see the movie because it sounds interesting of how they're going to portray the business.
Well, from what I've heard from everyone that's seen it that I know and the boys and stuff that I've – it's awesome. And I haven't seen it yet, but one thing I wanted to say was that – and then I'll let you – take over the rest of the night of the interview, but I just wanted to say, you know, I asked someone today, I'm like, well, so have you heard anything about that movie, The Wrestler? And they said, well, you know, the critics are giving it, you know, a lot of, you know, many accolades. And I said, you know what, fuck the critics.
Mm-hmm.
What do the boys think about it? Because there hasn't been a movie made yet that the boys think is a really good one.
Yeah.
And so I think that this one, you know, I think this one's going to take the cake as far as what the boys think. But
yeah, and you remember Beyond the Mat.
Right.
That movie, you know, when I first got in the business when that was being filmed at APW, and Barry Blaustein came in talking like it was going to be a 30-minute documentary on PBS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he totally shit all over the business and totally made a bunch of money to himself using and basically raping these old pro wrestlers and young pro wrestlers, telling them, oh, it's just going to be a 30-minute documentary on Frontline on PBS, so he wouldn't have to pay anybody. You know, he kept everybody in the dark about it. But
right.
He totally, I don't know what Blaustein was thinking when he made that film. I wonder if he got pissed off at the business because he wasted so much time as a youth watching this portrayal of fights, and maybe he felt like, you know, when everybody was, you know, opening up the business and letting the secrets out, maybe he wanted to shit on the business and try to bury it, because I don't know. I don't know why he did that.
I don't think so. I just think it's the Jew in him. And I think that, you know, all those guys in Hollywood, you know, they know what they're doing. That's why there's 15 million of them and about two regular guys in there. But, you know, I think he knew what he was doing. And you know what? Beyond the Mat, it was what it was. It did give wrestling some pretty good exposure.
It did. It helped Modest, you know, to a certain extent. You know, I thought it was pretty cool. We were all sitting in the theater watching Modest and Big Roland on the big screen.
Yeah, I thought
Roland. You know, he's in a major motion picture, and the guy didn't shave or shower, so you know he made APW look really good.
He didn't shower. How'd you know that?
I could smell him.
Oh God, you know it's bad then. Well, let's you and I do some word associations real quick.
Okay.
Let's see here. Roland Alexander.
Con artist.
Mitsuharu Misawa.
Legend.
Ricky Marvin.
Smartass.
Trevor Murdoch.
Lucky. Very lucky. That guy got the push of the century.
But you know what's funny about him? Just not to go too far off topic, but you know what's great about Trevor is that in the sense of business today, I really think that wrestling needs more guys like him.
He can work. He can wrestle.
Yeah, and he can. And every guy doesn't have to look like a homosexual.
Exactly.
Like Chris Sabin.
Exactly.
You know, every guy can actually have his own body, you know, look a different way. But
right. Trevor and I never really got along well in Japan.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I consider him a friend.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know the guy very well, but, you know, I was happy for him. You know, one of the small, you know, the guys that really didn't have a chance, you know, made it.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I was proud of him.
I was too. It was a good thing, you know, and it gave wrestling a little different twist. But, all right, The Rock.
Sold out the business. Stepping stone.
See, I don't think that. That's the one thing that that a lot of people say, and I don't think that. And the reason that I don't think that is because mm-hmm. he went into movies, and he makes more money now, and people shit on him. I mean, he went to the WrestleMania Awards this year, and people were shitting on him, and guys like Hunter or Triple H were, you know, making fun of him and stuff, and I think he's smarter than any of them.
He is smarter than any of them, but, you know, he's a good-looking guy, and he can entertain, and he's smart, and he busted his ass. You know, I talked to guys like D'Lo Brown that traveled with him in the 90s and early 2000s. Said he busted his ass on the road. You know, he was in the gym. He did the things he had to do to look good, and, you know, he worked for what he got, and he made Vince McMahon a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with using the business as a stepping stone to better your life. But, you know, as being a wrestler, you know, I kind of look at it like he just abandoned what made him what he is today.
Right.
I'm not knocking the guy. I'm just saying, you know, he flat out dropped.
Most wrestlers abandon who made them who they were today. And I think that he just abandoned, you know, he abandoned the idea of what made him what he was. But ultimately, I think The Rock made himself who he was. He's one of the people I look up to the most now. I never thought I would. But it's probably because I'm out of the business, you know, and I'm outside looking in. You view it a lot different than on the inside looking out, you know.
Right.
Okay, what do you think about Doug Williams?
Doug is, you know, I can't do the word association because I have so much to say. I can't just, one word for Doug.
Yellow teeth.
Unknown. Doug is, I think we're friends, but Doug is like, we're not very close. We're co-workers. I don't know how to explain it. We've never really gotten into in-depth talk about our lives, and I've never gone out to eat with them or going to see a movie or just
hang
out.
You want to know why that is?
Why?
Because he has no depth to him as a person. I was the one that actually, you know, Modestin, and this isn't you saying it, but Modestin and I got him his jobs at NOAA.
Uh-huh.
And that guy, I have no respect for him because he never showed us anything other than, you know, anything. He told us he was going to book us in England if we got him the job in NOAA, never did. He's a piece of shit. And so that, if you said Doug Williams to me, I would say yellow teeth piece of shit. That's what I would say. But you didn't ask me, I won't say.
Yeah, I still work with the guy, and I get along with him, and he's helped me in a few situations. I wouldn't say that, but, you know.
That's fine. That's
love thy brother.
What's that?
Love thy brother.
What? Love thy brother what?
Love thy brother. That's all I'm going to say about him.
Okay. I don't understand, but I'll go with you on it.
No, you just got to look out for who you work, you know, with.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you can't be hating on people that you work with because they could fuck you up.
Right.
You know, they could not outside of the ring and inside.
Sure. Sure, absolutely.
I get along with everybody at NOAA, you know, the foreigners. I haven't got a problem with anybody.
Well, that's probably one of the reasons that you're still there, you know, doing good, is because, you know.
I try to make those guys feel comfortable because they look scared, you know, their first, second tour. They look scared. They're nervous. They want to make sure they come back for another tour. I just tell them, hey, man, just ride the boat, man. Just relax. And I could never do that. When I first got, I was the same way. You know, you remember. I was like, what can I do to make myself better? La, 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 la. I'm nervous. And I should have been, you know, just work hard and relax.
Yeah. It would have made it a lot easier.
A lot easier, mentally. Yeah.
What do you think about, and just Misawa as a promoter or a boss, actually a boss, but what do you think about him versus a guy like Vince McMahon? Like,
Misawa is really, he's still one of the boys.
Right.
You know, he's not, I don't think I've talked more than 20 words to him the whole time I've worked there, and I've been there for 8 years.
Right.
He's very, he's a recluse.
Right.
He keeps to himself. He keeps his emotions hidden. You don't know what he's thinking. You know, it's just like when you watch him wrestle, that's how he is outside of the ring.
Right.
But he kind of, you know, personally, he kind of scares me a little bit. He's intimidating. He's so quiet. You don't know what he's thinking.
Now, let me ask you this. You say that, you know, he's one of the boys. So compared to Vince, you know, Vince has not ever been one of the boys. So you can't really compare that. But compare Jeff Jarrett to you know, Misawa. I mean, how do you think?
I think Misawa's more professional.
Right.
From what I've heard. I don't know Jeff Jarrett. I've never been in his presence. But I've heard stories, which could be bullshit or could be true. But I don't know. Misawa's very mysterious. Mysterious is a good word for him.
Yeah.
Because you never know what he's thinking.
Sure.
Or where he's going.
And you don't. And it's like I did a show with Mike or for Mike a couple weeks ago, and I said, you know, anytime you're dealing with the Japanese, it's almost like you're dealing with a poker game. It's like you don't know what they're thinking, and they will never let you know
never.
What they're thinking. You know?
And I've been told he speaks fluent English.
Yeah,
I've never heard it.
I believe it. But I just think, you know, if you compare all the companies together, you know, for example, I mean, I shriek to compare TNA to any of these companies because guys that work in TNA, with the exception of the top guys like Joe and Christian and, you know, Jarrett and those guys, the Rhino, you know, guys on top like that, everyone else makes shit money. So it's not a, you know, they're using all the other guys and they're telling them, hey, you're on TV, so, you know, just be happy.
It doesn't feed the family.
It doesn't feed the family, but you know what? There's a lot of people out there that are just marking up to do it.
I know, and that's what's wrong with the business today. Guys are going in for $30,000-$40,000 contracts. It's like, what?
Hey, dude.
Miguel Perez, perfect example. Miguel Perez, Miguelito Jr., he got $350,000 a year, a three-year contract. Now, Miguel Perez is nothing special. He's in the category of a Trevor Murdoch. But still, all the boys came in at a high price because that's the boys stuck together. Today, you know, they offer you, oh, I get to work for the WWE. Oh, I've made it without paying one due. And they, oh, $35,000 plus I'll pay my rental car and hotel. Okay, because they're marks.
Right.
That's why I can't work for that company because I can't come in for $35 or $500 a week or whatever these guys are signing for.
Right.
I mean, it's sad. It's sad because Vince is getting exactly what he wants.
Hey, and you know what? The wrestling business, we have no one to blame but ourselves.
But ourselves.
Yeah, because the people that accepted guys that were... You know, I think using Ricky Marvin as an example is very poor because that kid is so talented beyond belief. You know, he's like, you know, Rey Mysterio Jr., if not better.
An exception, yeah.
Right, but if you're talking about
Shannon Moore,
average guys, you know, I mean, at least even Shannon Moore, you know, got a really good body on him, but it was like you're talking about guys like Chris. I'm just using Chris Sabin as an example because I think with one backhand, I can knock that fucking idiot out.
He's pretty, though.
Yeah, well, if you're gay, it's great.
Look out.
but you know, but that's what the business has come to. Everyone goes, wow, you know, that guy's really, he can do a lot of flippy-flops. And
sure.
All that stuff.
And it was about, back in the late 90s, that's what it was about. It was about high spots and doing flips and kind of a, not to knock on Christopher Daniels, but everybody was into that style. But it makes no sense. When you get in a fight, you do three moonsaults.
Right. And the thing is, too, in Christopher Daniels' defense, I know you're not picking on him, but Chris could do everything else. And so that's what made him, you know, that's what made him good. Most of everyone else just did flippity-flops. And, you know, and a lot of those guys have jobs now. And, you know, the way I look at it, you know, if you look at those guys and people that say, oh, you know, well, that guy can do this, or, you know, I'm a shoot fighter. I'm going into UFC. I got, you know.
Right.
I tell you, my 9mm reaches longer than any of those. So, I mean, you know, it's just stupid. You've got a whole business today, like when I started in 1995. There was no one probably like 25, 30 guys that were prevalent indie workers. And then when you got up to, you know, the year 2000, you went from 25 to about 250.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what happens? Those 25 that were making $200 a pop are now making 25 or 50.
Yeah. The business is oversaturated with a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
And it's that way in England, too. When I went to England, I loved England. The fans were great and the people were great. And I'm being truthful about that. But the wrestlers are all 5'4", 150 pounds.
Right.
And they're actually coming up to me going, hey, do you think I got a shot in Noah? And I'm like, are you serious? I mean, dude, you look at yourself in the mirror. Would you pay $30 to see someone like you? in the ring. And I'm like, you guys are, you know, ever since the 1-2-3 kid won't beat
Scott Hall,
that's when the end of the business started. To me. It gave every little boy hope that they could be a professional wrestler, like the 1-2-3 kid.
And for me, when the end of the business started in England was when Doug Williams' dentist dropped him and said, we're not going to clean your teeth anymore. Because that was probably in about 1980 that happened. So,
you know, I think Americans have great dental care.
They do. And you're looking, you're comparing, you know, American dental care between Japan and England. I mean, forget about it.
I don't think they have it in Japan.
I don't think they do either.
Because this girl told me one time, Shinobu, you remember her.
Mm-hmm.
She told me that it's a luxury to get braces.
Yeah.
Like, only royalty gets that.
It's also a luxury to take a shit that's, like, solid. That's also a luxury. But
yeah, that's true.
Not everyone gets to do that.
But if you're eating beef, you know, pork curry, Mitsukatsu curry every day, I mean, that's what's going to happen.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you this. Is there anything else you want to say to the people that don't really get to hear you very much? Are you going to be performing in any indies here coming up?
I'm down in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
I'm going to be here until February.
Okay.
I'm helping Savio Vega and Miguel Perez get IWA back to where it was. And it's going to take a while because we have no, you know, the same thing's happening here. We got a bunch of small Puerto Rican guys that the fans don't really get behind. You know, we used to have Ricky Banderas, Ray Gonzalez, Shane, Thunder and Lightning, Apollo, you know, some very big and strong Puerto Rican guys that the fans could get behind.
Right.
But now, you know, I'm wrestling as a good guy, and the people just don't. They want to see the big, nasty Bison beat up on Puerto Rican guys.
Right.
And be, you know, a rule breaker. And they can't. They don't really get behind me as a good guy. It's
right.
Just like, it's unbelievable that a 5'6" guy is kicking your ass. And they're right. They're right.
Well,
but, that's what we're, what I'm trying to do right now is get IWA. You know, I'm loyal to Savio Vega and Miguel Perez. Yeah, you know.
And right now you're one half of the NOAH Tag Team Champs. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm down here. You know, I'm escaping the cold, and, you know, I'm in the heat, and my body appreciates that because my joints kill me when I'm in the cold.
Do you have a dentist?
I haven't been to the dentist in about a year. I need to get a cleaning.
You do. I will say your teeth look pretty good. I mean.
Well, I had braces as a kid. My parents were like clockwork with the dentist and the orthodontist.
Really?
They didn't mess around with the teeth. And I hated going to the dentist. I hate getting cavities filled. I hated, you know, getting my teeth cleaned. I just don't like people in my mouth.
Right.
But I need to go to the dentist. It's been about a year since I've gotten them cleaned, so.
Well, listen, I swear to God, as God is my witness, I will pay money. I will put money down if you can actually talk Doug Williams into going to the dentist. I'll pay for it. Because I'll tell you, I have talked to a lot of guys, and you know, that have wrestled in NOAH and stuff, and they're just like, you know, even girls that we would meet in bars and stuff, and they're like, Jesus Christ, you know, what are up with that guy's teeth?
Even in Japan?
Yeah, yeah. And well, I mean, you're talking about, you know, there's Lemonade, you know, and then there's Lemonade, and his teeth are just like lemons. I mean. They're really fucking ugly, and so I'll pay for it, Doug. Don't worry, I got you the job there, and I'll pay for your fucking teeth to get cleaned too. So, and don't worry, I won't tell your wife that you fuck all kinds of girls when you're over there. We'll just keep that between you and me. So
I
no big deal
about that.
But yeah, you could don't. Yeah, I know you wouldn't say that, but anyways, have a good holiday. Thank you for being on the show, and. have a happy new year and watch for bison. Before we leave, though, what do you know about, you know, we heard something on TV about, or on the internet about Noah's TV deal. Do you know anything about that? Do you think it's going to affect the company, or do you think they're going to keep going strong like they are?
They've been, you know, everybody thinks that Noah got surprised by it, but Noah's been anticipating this for the past 2 years by roster cuts and keeping guys in Tokyo when we go out on tour.
Right.
So it wasn't a huge shock to them. They knew it was coming. I think they were told maybe 2 years ago that, hey, you know, if there's a possibility you might lose TV. It's not necessarily, I mean, their time slot was like 2:30 in the morning.
Right.
30 minutes. I don't think that necessarily was great for them, but the money that MTV was giving them is going to be missed.
Right.
And I'm hoping that they keep afloat. I hope they keep afloat through cable, the internet, and through the one remaining wrestling magazine. And, you know, they've got the home, you know, the base and the audience build up. Hopefully the name will sell itself.
Hey, if anyone can do it, they can do it. So.
Yeah. And it's good wrestling. It would be a shame to see that promotion die. That's the best wrestling in the world right there.
I think so, you know, but the thing is that if anyone can do it, they can, you know, and Rue Nakata is a shrewd businessman. He'll be able to pull them out and make some good deals that need to be made, so.
He's a good businessman. He knows the whole business up and down. He knows what needs to be done. And if there's anybody I trust more than, you know, Rue Nakata is the guy.
Hitler. Oh. Okay. Yeah, no, totally. But anyways, thanks for being with us, Bison. Have a good new year, and I will talk to you soon.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Ho, ho, ho. Adios.
Adios.